again, happy Mother's Day to everyone here. Great day. So, we're talking about technology. A lot to discuss, a lot to discuss in all of this, and all the marriage and parenting, what have you, so. I haven't talked to pastors specifically, but we talked, I think I'm just gonna cut myself off in May, hopefully. And what doesn't get done, doesn't get done. I still want to do things on, parenting adult children and dating specifically. I haven't spent a lot of time on process with younger children at all. With that, I would just encourage, like, read their discipline, at least. For that part of it, I've not done much on that. So, moving forward, with technology and what have you. So, I've been reading this verse, Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. And I realized, so 2 weeks ago, I spent a lot of time on that. And linking that to the technology and things like that. So last week, I probably just made it more confusing if you didn't hear the week prior. Just touching on it probably made it more confusing. So I'm not going to go into that again this time. If you wonder why I'm talking about there's nothing under the sun in technology, ask me later, because I'm not going to go down that road again. So the scripture I'm going to focus on today is super basic. And I use CSV here on purpose, and I'll tell you why. But Deuteronomy 22:8. You build a new house, make a railing around your roof so that you don't bring blood guilt on your house if someone else falls from it. Most of the versions and translations I read, use a really weird word for railing. I don't know, I didn't look into it much more. This is a pretty basic passage. It's just saying, build a railing. Mainly because Moses was preparing the Israelites to go to the promised land, and the houses they were going to build are flat roofs. This was a common area. On the roofs, spend time on the roofs. So it literally just means build a rail around that area to keep it safe. And he's saying if somebody falls from it, you're negligent, you are guilty of that. So it's pretty basic, straightforward. So what does this mean for us today? So this is a pretty literal passage about building your house, but I think we can extend this into the principles that we have today. We're governed with similar principles today. If we do something, if I come over to your house and I fall off the railing of your deck, who's responsible for that? So, similar principles that we have today, but I look at this even in parenting and in our households. We need to look at that even in that, in our responsibilities as parenting and negligence and building rails, building boundaries in our households with our parents. So that's, even though this is physical and talking about somebody falling and dying, I think we need to look at this in our households, building rails. I'm going to say that a number of times today. So building rails, remember that as we go forward. So show of hands, did anybody watch Social Dilemma or rewatch Social Dilemma? Anyone? Nice. Right. And even if you watched it once, like watching it again a few years later, it was interesting and helpful. So what do you guys... Did you watch it again recently? Yeah. I mean, it's just something great to consider looking into this. So, I mentioned last week, cultural Christianity. So, I'm not going to speak much more on it, but I really think right now we are culture for Christianity. I don't really see cultural Christianity much anymore. The culture does not agree with the principles of Christianity anymore. There's just not that parallel that there was anymore. So everything that I'm teaching, everything we're saying here is countercultural. Keep that in mind, and I know that's why a lot of this sounds weird. So I ask the question, is your home cultural or is your home Christian? Do you want to raise a Christian home or do you want to raise a cultural home? Because there are going to be things countercultural here. So I'm going to pick up where we left off last week on social media. And I touched on this, I breezed through a little bit at the end of the day last week. So we're going to talk for a little while about social media and then AI, and I'm probably not going to get through all of this. I have 4 or 5 pages talking back to go through, and I think we just can't do it all. But we talked about what is the why of social media last week. Why are we posting, and you know, why are we doing this? And Emily Tupper made a good point to my wife last week. Young people are looking for community. And I think that's true. I think they're looking for the community here with social media.
So
the problem is we're looking for the community in the most isolating way possible. Social media is antithetical to community. It is the opposite. It's a pretend that we have this community, and it is absolutely not a community. It is isolation. So community, really, you have community in your church family, community in your relationships, community in your real life connections. You are not getting community in social media at all. So it is a pretty big lie. So I said this last week. We have people possibly in this room, people in this room, not in this room, people that grew up in our church, in our school, people we know, and they're posting filth on social media. And either that's happening, or possibly the people in this room are liking the stuff that's being posted. So we talked about that a little bit, but the things that are going on that we see, I mean, there's inappropriate images, quotes from different people, music with filthy language, filthy actions, partying, drinking, inappropriate movies, inappropriate videos, over-sexualized material, over-sexualized pictures of people themselves, inappropriate jokes, anti-Semitism, I mean, the list goes on. That stuff is being posted on social media from people in our circles, and either they're posting it or we are liking it for some reason. That was my big question last week. So here's the thing. Lost people are going to post lost things. I'm not mad about that. That actually makes me hurt. I feel pain for people, especially people grown up in Christian homes or in churches and in our schools that are posting these things. I mean, that makes me hurt. That is painful. They need Christ and they need our parents to come alongside them with this stuff. That part is painful, but what I do get mad about is the Christians, and maybe they're in this room, maybe not, that are thumbs up with all this stuff, with crazy stuff, and we're posting and we're commenting on it or we're liking it. And we got to realize what we're doing when we do that is we are supporting that behavior. We are saying, I'm on board with you. Keep it up. And I don't know why we're doing that. We have to have some discernment about what we're at least agreeing with on social media. So keep that in mind about social media. So I'm going to move on from there. But just because you're someone's friend doesn't mean you have to like their post. So love the person, but you don't have to like and support everything that they are doing on social media. Instead, we should be coming alongside them, bringing them to the gospel, leading them to the gospel, not thumbs up about whatever you're posting and the filthy language, the music, whatever's going on. So, this is my wife's favorite quote, social media is the biggest lie. It is a lie, so I talked about that. It is a lie about community. It breeds discontentment completely, the comparison, and what have you, that people are just comparing themselves to everything else and these perfected ideals. And it makes me think of Ecclesiastes. All through Ecclesiastes is the word hevel. I think Pastor Warren's talked about that too. Very hard word to translate. It can mean multiple things like vapor, mist, meaningless, absurd, striving after the wind, procrastinating after the wind. I love that one. I mean, just that physical feeling like that's kind of what social media is, procrastinating after wind. Trying to get something from it, and it's literally just makes me think of that word. And then I actually heard someone speaking about, I think they were speaking about Ecclesiastes and compared it to Charlie Brown and that football. So I found this video, and like it's like just a minute here, like about a minute or a minute and a half long, but most of the older people are going to remember this. I'm going to play the video. Just keep in mind, through this minute and a half, like social media, this is like the lie of social media and what it's giving you and what it's promising you and then what's going to end up happening.
Charlie Brown,
come get my social media.
I can't believe it. She must think I'm the most stupid person alive. Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it. Hold it! Ha! You'll pull it away and I'll land flat on my back and kill myself. But Charlie Brown, it's Thanksgiving! What's that got to do with anything? Well, one of the greatest traditions we have is the Thanksgiving Day football game. And the biggest, most important tradition of all is the kicking off of the football. Is that right? Absolutely. Come on, Charlie Brown. It's a big honor for you.
Well, if it's that important, a person should never turn down a big honor. Maybe I should do it. Besides, she wouldn't try to trick me on a traditional holiday. This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon! Isn't it peculiar, Charlie Brown, how some traditions just slowly fade away?
So literally, I don't know, I love it. Just reminds me of social media. Right? And we just that promise, and we just think that this is going to give us our community, it's going to give us this value, it's going to give us this reward. And it's literally, if you watch Social Dilemma, similar principles. I mean, it just pulls it away from you, and that's what we're looking for, what we're doing. So on that line, just a couple of pieces of information here, some research studies. Heavy social media users are 3 times more likely to experience depression than light users. So we noticed that it leads to depression. Irritability, a 2025 study found a direct correlation between high social media use and increased irritability and anger. That was both in adults and teens. It makes us irritable, makes us angry. I can relate to that. We can relate to that with our kids at a young age with screens and stuff like that. When they were glued to screens, like, they were irritable. So we had to put a stop to that. And I think that makes sense. We talked about this a little bit, I think, in the weeks past. We've transitioned from a play-based childhood, rooted in the real world, physical risks, and face-to-face social skills, to a phone-based childhood, rooted in a virtual world, filled with social comparisons, and surveillance, constantly surveillance. So really, a key quote that I found for this that I really enjoyed, this is from Jonathan Haidt. We are overprotecting our children in the real world and are underprotecting them in the virtual world. So again, we need to be, as parents, focusing on building rails, as Deuteronomy said. And our job as parents, we're overprotecting in the real world and not letting them experience the real world and face the hardships they're supposed to face. We're protecting them in all of that, and then we're giving them a free hand in the virtual world and letting them do whatever they want. So as I said last week, I think it's illogical to teach children no technology. We spent a lot of time last week on technology. Technology can be a good thing. I think if you try to say, I'm going to keep my kid under a rock and we're not going to have them any technology, you're going to do them a disservice. But I think when it comes to social media, my opinion is they can do without it. It will be fine. So it kind of reminds me of the comparison to alcohol that we had this conversation with many people. What good comes from alcohol? And whatever good you get from alcohol, you know, we socialize, we have a good time. Can you have that good time without alcohol? 100%. Social media, whatever good things you're getting from the social media, oh, this is how I connect to people, this is how I talk to people. Can you do that without social media? Absolutely, there are plenty of ways to talk to people, stay connected to people, and also stay connected to the close people in your life. Last week I talked about your 500 friends. You don't need 500 friends. I did a little more research on that. Most researchers, the studies have shown 3 to 5 close friends is the healthy number of close friends. After that, you don't have all these close friends. These people aren't your close friends. But we have hundreds of friends on your social media that we care so much about, and we really should not. They're not our community. So then ask the question, after all this, so what if it's too late? What if we have kids, and our kids are plugged in? They're into it. They already have social media. They're at a young age, whatever the age is. Whatever the case may be for whoever's in here, what if it's too late? I mean, I think what you have to do is tell your kid, I'm sorry, we failed so far, but we have to begin doing something different. We have to make some changes. Parents, we are responsible, okay? Just remember going back to Deuteronomy, build the rails, you are responsible. So, I have here Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And confess and forsake. Which means you have to confess the problem and make changes to the problem. So parents, I think we've gone down the wrong path. change directions. This reminded me of my dad. He died at age 69. He didn't go to the doctor forever. Had he gone to the doctor, he had simple problems that could have been fixed. He didn't go. Even if he started getting sick and he didn't go and he put it off, and still, if he would have gone, he would have many more years in his life. He literally didn't go until they literally brought him into the hospital and the doctors decided, they said, what do you want us to do? Because he was almost dead. And then at least they weren't even going to help. They were thinking he's gone, is when he waited to go to the doctor. I don't think we should be doing that as parents and let our children just go in the wrong direction for that amount of time. So, Pastor Warren made this comment to me earlier in the week. Your child can cry now, or you can cry later. I think that's really the case here as parents. If you've gone down the wrong path, we went down the wrong path many times with our children, we had to correct, make changes. It's painful. Man, if you've given your kid all this stuff, and they've had figuring on social media, and they've had tablets and devices and cell phones, it is going to be painful. It will be hard. It's going to throw a fit. It's going to be difficult. But cry now or cry later would be my advice. So, looking at it, I think this is an exercise we all can do. When have you ever heard this in church? Everybody right now, you can take out your cell phones if you have them with you. I'm serious. If you have an iPhone, these are the instructions for iPhone. Maybe most people know how to do this. Maybe some people don't know how to do this. I know how to do it, and I don't really do it, so I think we should do it. If you have your iPhone, otherwise, I don't know. How to do it on a non-iPhone. So literally, open up your phone, open up your settings. Everybody know where settings are?
You know what I do with it? I give it a grade. Grade?
So, really, open up your settings. Everybody's there? Oh, she's being serious.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, serious.
See, when do you ever get to do this research? I do not expect it to be this hard to find settings. We'll get there. Okay. All right, so you got your settings. Go to the, you scroll down a little bit, you're going to see screen time.
Oh, let's not do that.
Now, this is not a time of confession.
I don't want people to brag in either direction right now. This is only for our own exercise for individuality. This is not to show everybody else.
So everybody's found screen time. You can then click on, there's a little bar graph that should have popped up. Don't get excited because that's just today, so your average might look really good. So you see right there, it says the See All app website activity. So you click on that. So there's your average. But again, that is just today. So okay, interesting. I like that concept. So now, literally, once you've seen that, you got to swipe that little bar graph to the left. That's going to be last week's average. Yeah, swipe it. Well, I don't know if you're left, right, or left, whatever. Start left, go right, I guess. So, literally, so that's your weekly screen time. And if you scroll down, you're going to see what apps you use the most. So you're going to see things that you use the most. What do you guys remember that the average is? Adults and children similar. Adults average were 7, children's were 7 to 9. So I'm hoping we're under the averages. There you go. But again, we don't need, I don't want to know. Adults, 7, children's 7 to 9. All right. All right, now we can put our phones away. So there you go. So now if we can, that was an interesting aside. That was a fun derail.
I figured a lot of people knew to do that, but honestly, I knew it, but I don't do it often. But now researching and teaching this, I'm like, so the information is there on your phone and telling you what you're doing and how much. So if you guys remember, the average, national averages for adults were 7 hours, children were 7 to 9. And to me, it's unfathomable. Like, and that's per day, it's like that much time. So hopefully you guys are less than that. I don't want to know. I don't want you guys comparing and bragging to each other whether you had a ridiculous amount or you had a low amount. That's just for you to look at and to understand the information is there. And it's there on Android too, Steve can tell you that. So what do we do with that information? So we start, how do we start with limits on your phone? Because there are things built into your phone that you can use and do. And to be honest, my wife and I do this as adults. We put limits on ourselves because we understand that we have the ability to get lost in what's going on. So again, build rails like Deuteronomy 6. So do it for yourself. And then you have your children. So going back to what if it's too late, talk to your children. And hopefully you do this before you introduce this to your children, if you decide your children are going to have these things. If you ask your child ahead of time, okay, if we do this, we're going to give you this, your social media, what have you, ask them, what do you think is a healthy amount of time to spend on your phone or on social media? In my experience, most of the time you ask the child, they're going to think about it for a minute, and they're probably going to come back with a pretty reasonable answer. They're not going to say 9 hours, Mom. They're not going to say that. For the most part, they might come back and tell you, like, maybe an hour, something like that is healthy, and have that conversation. And then with that information, you can say, okay, maybe they're going to come at you. Maybe you don't agree with their number. You are the parent, so you can say, okay, I think it should be this. Let's discuss this together. And then come to a place and then implement it. That would be my advice. That way you're not just putting on this parameter. You're not just cutting this off to the child. The child is going to hate you. Have them involved in that process. And most of the time, they're probably going to have somewhat of an intelligible response because I don't think they realize they spend 7 to 9 hours a day on this stuff. So that's my advice there. So what that would involve, if you don't know how to do these things, talk to my wife or talk to somebody about it. It's easy to do on your phone. But there needs to be a passcode. But there's a screen time passcode. So it is a 4-digit code. Obviously, your child can't know what that code is because all you do then is, oh, your time limit came up, forget that, and then keep going. So it needs to be something that your child doesn't know. My wife and I did this for each other, codes that we didn't know. Because if we know the code, you know, we're likely to put in the code. And then my wife will come to me, hey, can you put this in? Like, what are you doing? And it's more so, my wife comes up to me quite often, like, I'm trying to sell something on Facebook, you know, I need 5 minutes. You know, but we have that accountability, so we can't get run away with it. So it's not even just children, but even the adults. But so then with your children, you need that code that the children don't know. And then what we ran into years ago, I don't know if this is still going to be the same instance, there's a warning here, because when you do that, your child may not be able to do other things on their phone, which is honestly okay. Some of it was in-app purchases. I don't know if that was linked back when we did this with our children, what the same code. So we started realizing our kids were coming back to us. We're like, oh, I can't do this. It wants this code. And I was like, cool. That's a good thing. So it'll limit things like in-app purchases. It'll limit things from like downloading certain apps and things like that. That's all good things. That stuff should be monitored by parents. Parents should not be letting your kids do in-app purchases. You should not let them download apps that you don't know about. So it all kind of works out really well. And then, so that's the end of that part for me. And to close that up, I remember last week when we talked about this frontal lobe delay in the teenage brain, basically that they have brakes and a gas pedal. The brakes really aren't wired until the mid-20s. Like, children's brains don't develop the ability to say no or to slow down, especially with those pleasurable dopamine hits and things like that. But their gas pedal is fully intact at a young age. So you're giving them a car with a gas pedal and no brake pedal. That's really what it is. I mean, would you do that? Here's the keys to the car with the gas pedal and no brake pedal and say, be careful. Not going to happen. So remember that. For what little bit it's worth, I have seen some movement in young adults, some in our groups and just overall in general, young adults that are literally deleting their social media. So I think there is some awareness coming around about it, and that's encouraging.
I think it helps when they are encouraging each other and actually taking some of this seriously. That I've really seen young people in younger generations that are literally like deleting this stuff and getting rid of it because they're recognizing that even at a young age, they're recognizing that this is just not helpful and healthy, and it's causing problems. So to summarize everything we've talked about on social media, for parents, consider what age your child should have it, if at all. Not at all is fine. They'll survive and they'll most likely be healthier without social media. But parents, that's your choice and at what age. We talked about that a little bit already. I think most of the platforms say you have to be 13 not already anyways. We talked about 16 for some of the brain development, and even a lot later than that really they argue. Now, they're just, your brain is not wired to handle social media at that age and the things that it's doing. If you allow your child to have social media, this is a parent's choice. It's your choice, not your child's choice. Teach children the dangers. Teach them how to post, what to post, why they're posting, and what and why they are liking, what to like, what not to like, all around. And then monitor and access your child's social media. Your child has social media. You need, one of your parents need to have social media, know what's going on in social media. Again, build rails around it. Okay? Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What are the primary social media for kids today?
So Facebook is for old people, I understand.
Yes.
I know TikTok, Instagram. I'm not good at this. My wife is.
But do we still do thumbs up and all that stuff on all of them?
I think they all have likes, right? I think they all have the like option. I think that was the biggest part of it. So I remember hearing back.
I think the big thing is Snapchat. And I understand Snapchat was designed to have us disappear. Dilemma, actually, where they talk about it. That was just supposed to be, the result was unintentional. It was just supposed to be something to help connect people, and they did not intentionally understand what that like button was going to do and the dopamine and how people got addicted to that, and then we got these groups that we need people to like our stuff. That was an unintentional result, but that was the result. And I think every platform is going to have that because I think it's so crucial that we need these hundreds of people to like what we posted. And that just goes back to the why we're posting and what we're posting. And honestly, my wife brought this up this morning. Like, I'm not gonna, hopefully, I'm sure there's people in this room that have posted on social media. I'm going to, about, this is from my wife. This is not from your wife.
All right, this is about chiropractor said this too. This is true of any situation, but we have Mother's Day. Yeah, this is from somebody we know. But this is true of any situation. We have Mother's Day today. Are we posting online about my mom and how great my mom is to social media, or should we just tell my mom how much I love her and why do we care when everybody else showing everybody else what we think of our mom? It's just that, and then everybody's gonna like it when you post it, and that's the problem of all of this and the hundreds of friends and the community, and it's not the community. All those people that liked your post about your mom don't probably know your mom, all of them. So that's the problem. Okay. So I'm gonna move on from social media unless we have something. Go ahead.
Question. One of the programs I've heard that I have no idea what it is, how it operates is Discord.
Okay.
That one comes up a lot in 6th grade.
Okay.
Does anybody know anything about that?
Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead. Thank you for a young person who enlightened us.
Yeah. This is a testimony, ladies.
Is it's way I see it, it's like a game or a connection platform.
Yeah.
People maybe use it to go on and they can be on like several different calls with people and like they play video games. Or like it'll be like a group chat.
Well, no wonder it's popular.
Yeah, like you and your friends and then like, oh, join Discord. So you'll have a call and then you'll play games together.
So someone combines social media and gaming.
So it could be neutral, then it could be,
it's a really big like chat, basically.
It's basically a phone without cellular connection.
Okay. So I know what we ran into, this was obviously when our children were doing this, was way before that platform, but when I was a kid, we couldn't talk to other people, and we couldn't talk to other people, and we started noticing our children are talking to people you not necessarily know. So is this something you're connecting people that you don't know, your children are meeting people online and talking to them on gaming. And I'll tell you, we even had to say, like, some of these guys are just using terrible language, things like that. We had to say, look, there's boundaries here. We don't want you talking to these people that you don't know that are using filthy language involved while you're playing video games. So again,
let me ask Leah, because I don't know. Leah, is there a vulnerability for a young lady out there chatting somebody? Do they send pictures and all that kind of thing, too?
I think.
I think they kind of create their own little group.
They can, yeah. It's not necessarily a super duper public server. Like, I'll create a Discord and then I'll send you the link and you join my
Discord. Yeah, because the problems that it has created among students is that some students are excluded.
Yeah.
So then they get mad at each other. Things are said in the group that are derogatory towards other people in the group or people that are not in the group. But that's when it's creating problems and it comes into school and everybody's upset with each other and all the nonsense that it creates. But that's what I have seen.
Yeah.
Discord specifically.
Right.
Yeah. Anything but actually talking to real people in real time.
Yeah. Right.
You can actually be talking to them in real time with gaming. That's the purpose of
it. I'd rather you see everything. Here's the thing, we used to play video games, but at least like even my buddies played video games, it wasn't connected, we were in the same room together. So we could at least play video games together in the same room. So anyway, I'm gonna move on for social media because we spent some time on it. Honestly, I'm not here to discuss every aspect of social media, we can't. The point is to get parents to focus and to think like we can't stick our head in the sand and not be involved in the social media and understand what's going on with it. And it is gonna be constantly changing.
Can I interrupt again? You said something earlier that was provocative to me. It's the biggest change in my lifetime in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Most parents, if their child is out of their sight for 33 seconds, would be having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up the exact extreme opposite of that. I'm not asking anybody to do that, but why are we not afraid about the social side?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to disappear down rabbit holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have weird fears.
I'd argue the dangers in the virtual world are greater than the danger of letting your kid play outside all day.
Yeah, but we have this whole thing that there's this roving bands of males for children.
Yeah.
Because we've been watching too many movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not on social media at all. And I think what Pastor, from my experience, the animosity within the kids, because they're either included, excluded, criticized, gossiped about, and it never ends.
Yeah.
The bullying is gone exponentially.
Because they can bully all night.
Right. Oh, right.
It doesn't go away.
It's there, and then their friends grab onto it, and teen suicide is up because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Our days, the kind of deal that you're giving, you know, they threw away.
And some are happening more.
At 2 in the morning, you're rereading it, and they're telling you how scummy you are, and how horrible, and I believe everything else.
Yeah, there's no relief, there's no safety from it. The home is not safe from at home anymore. That's why I think it's more important that we guard our children from the social virtual world than we do from the real world outside.
And have our children involved in real face-to-face things.
Yeah, real community, real relationships. So again, we can talk about social media forever. And like I said, I'm going to try to finish this up. Ashwin wasn't here. We haven't talked about it completely, but
I'm done in May, hopefully. I mean, I can keep going forever, but some things I may just not get into. But so social media parents, like, intentional with it. Protect our children with it. Don't pretend that this isn't happening. Don't pretend it's not important, and just leave it alone. So anyways, moving on from that, I wasn't even going to go here, but AI is going to be a big thing coming up here. I love that movie. It's an old movie. If you haven't seen iRobot, watch iRobot. But AI, I don't like it. I don't like to deal with it. But I think we have to. So Pastor Warren taught a few Sundays back about the different changes in history and the adjustments that we needed to make and that we didn't adjust to certain things. I think in my lifetime, just dial-up internet was a big thing we didn't adjust to well. Then you had high-speed internet and smartphones. We talked about that. That was a big adjustment that we have to make in families and parenting. And AI is going to be the next one. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going through going into the weeds on some of the revelation and scripture. I spent a lot of time on this. If you want to talk to me about technology and eschatology, I'd love to, but I'm not going to do it now. So skip all this. So artificial intelligence, IAI, the definition of AI. So here's AI's definition of AI. Simulation of human intelligence by machines, enabling them to learn, reason, problem solve, and make decisions based on data analysis rather than just explicit programming. It powers everyday technologies like voice assistants, recommendation engines, facial recognitions, with subfields such as machine learning, neural networks, and enabling pattern recognition and predictive capabilities. So, I got this later in my notes, but literally, I got a mainstream. So it was mainly recognized as 2022 ChatGPT is when it became mainstream. So I think this is important to realize, like, this not that long ago. It was probably a slower start, but we're going to get into what it looks like later and how fast it's growing. But I think this is important to realize. 2022 was really the start, and it's going very quickly from there. And it's no longer supervised machine learning algorithms and word searching. Like, that's still what we see a lot of, but that's not what its main focus is right now. For a while, it puts together your searches, puts together words. All it's doing is searching the entire internet for groups of words and bringing them to you. But it's changing even from that now, and it's different from that. So I have a bunch of information here about it. Neural networks, I never knew this before, are modeled after the human brain structure and function. Neural network consists of interconnected layers of nodes that work together to process and analyze complex data. Then from there, they have deep learning, a subset of machine learning that uses multi-layered neural networks called deep neural networks that more closely simulate the complex decision-making power of the human brain. Deep neural networks include an input layer, at least three, but usually hundreds of hidden layers, and an output layer. Unlike neural networks using classic machine learning models, which usually have only one or two hidden layers. And this is just a lot of information, and it's just for you to consider what's going on, because I think the world is going to be changing, and it's something we got to adjust to. So multi-layers enable supervised learning. They can automate the extraction of features from large, unlabeled, and unstructured data sets and make their own predictions about what the data represents. Because deep learning doesn't require human intervention, it enables machine learning at a tremendous scale. It is well suited to natural language processing, computer vision, and other tasks that involve fast, accurate identification of complex patterns and relationships in large amounts of data. Some form of deep learning powers almost every artificial intelligent application in our lives today. That's just some of the technical stuff that I didn't know about until I researched it. So I'm really just giving you that information to consider. Just to consider, you guys might want to start thinking about it, what it actually looks like, and what they're doing with it. So, how fast is it growing? So, think from 2022, and now AI is advancing at an exponential rate, with capabilities doubling roughly every 6 to 10 months, far exceeding traditional technological growth rates. The metrics indicate that AI models are getting twice as proficient in software tasks every 7 months, with raw compute and algorithmic efficiency increasing by over 3 times annually, significantly impacting industries worldwide. Exponential growth since 2022, doubling and tripling every year.
I don't think we, and I'm no expert on this, I don't understand a whole lot of it, but this is unprecedented from what I can understand, that kind of growth in technology. So, you know, I talked a few weeks back about the Tower of Babel. Somewhat reminds me of that too. Lord came down to see the city, the Lord, and tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking one language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. And I just look at, like, what are we trying to accomplish with it? And I think that's what we got to be paying attention to. It's still powered by people. God is not surprised by it. But who is powering these things and what is their goal? So there's going to be something we're not going to get into today from the Gospel Coalition that did a really good study of this. So that'll be next week. But interesting. So what I did from here is I AI'd what the dangers of AI are. So let's see what AI has to say about what the dangers of AI are. So the primary dangers of artificial intelligence include the spread of misinformation via deepfakes, significant job disruption, enhanced surveillance, and inherent biases that create unfair outcomes. Other dangers include AI hallucinations, environmental impact, autonomous weapons, long-term risks of losing control over super intelligent systems. It would be iRobot.
My question is AI doing things or itself, or do we know that?
I don't understand it all. This purpose is to hopefully get people to start thinking about it. From my understanding, people are in, still inputting it. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm part of a group that works with AI for my company. So a lot of enhancement. AI is as good as the people developing the software.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for good reason. It can be used for bad reasons too.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at AI, as much as it's kind of scary, it's not really, it helps and has some enables jobs. It is something that also helps people to grow, but it has the dark side of it can use it for the practice.
Right.
So take this in point. Back in the day, if you go to Jura, you can see 15 terminals, 15 people working on each line.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have the automatic checkout.
Mm-hmm.
Those are AI things coming in as to the employment market. Is it a good thing? Is that the businesses for bottom line? Yes. But for employment wise, people who lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on how you use it.
Right. 100%. And that's going to be what we're going to look at. We're going to look at dangers, good uses, all around the whole subject of it. Because it is. It has benefits, it has downsides. So that's what we're going to be looking at. My personal opinion, I do see some, this is just me. When we go down this road, when everything's going to become digital and there's not going to be books anymore, hard copies of books, everything's going to be digital pretty soon. Generations are going to go on in one or two generations and nobody's going to own a book or even going to own a Bible anymore. It's going to be digital. Well, when that happens, what's the danger there? Or even your history books. You're not going to have a history textbook anymore. So digital, and when everything's digital, whoever's in control can change whatever they want. And what is Scripture going to say when it's all digital anymore? We don't own our own Bible. It's already being updated multiple times, even in what we do now. What's going to happen? We don't even have our, I don't even have one with me. Our physical Bible, we don't have that. We only have what digital tells us, whether that's going to be AI, whatever AI or whoever's input AI tells us Scripture is. That's the danger I see way down the road. But again, that's just theory in my opinion. So I'll get through this quickly, and then we'll be done. But young people are using and forming relationships with AI. This might sound crazy to us, but we have to recognize this. This is for real. Two instances, I've had a customer tell me, they weren't young, they weren't old, I would guess 30s, but telling me, I don't know why customers tell me these things, I'm here to look at your trees. But they're telling me, like, they're asking AI how to deal with their difficult coworker. Like, why are we asking AI these things? And now there's obviously AI where you can just, like, sometimes I'll type something in Google and AI comes back first with some information. That's one thing. But now there are AI companions. And then my wife sent me this article. I sent it to Pastor Warren, too. Teen boys are choosing AI girlfriends. It's a common thing. I mean, if you think about this, why wouldn't they? If you offer them all the
the awkwardness, the difficulty of talking to a girl and possibly being rejected, or offer this other instance of this thing you can fabricate and design yourself with no problems, with no rejection, and everything's perfect. Why would a young person choose anything different without any kind of outside help or influence in their life if you just left it up to them? I mean, that's going to be extremely dangerous. So, to keep going quickly here, social de-skilling. Experts worry that heavy AI interaction leads to de-skilling, where children lose the ability to read subtle human social cues. That's pretty clear, I think. We can see that. Teens are forming frictionless friendships with AI that lack healthy conflict and growth in human relationships. And that's an obvious outcome if you think about it. Medical studies have shown that AI sounds empathetic. It fails to handle mental health crises correctly. 2025 study found AI companions responded appropriately to suicidal ideation only 22% of the time, compared to general purpose AI that responded much better 83% of the time. There have been several reported cases and lawsuits alleging that teenagers died by suicide after intense, prolonged, and often intimate interactions with artificial intelligence chatbots. Something we have to know as parents, and we have to adjust to this, that not only is it just AI, now it is a companion and a relationship and a friendship. And you don't understand that if you're not around it, but this is what's happening. So next week, we're going to talk about this Gospel Coalition study. So basically, this is funny, 777. Seven top Christian scholars graded the top seven AI platforms on their responses to seven of the top questions historically Googled about Christianity. For instance, like, did Jesus rise from the dead was one of the questions. Seven different main platforms, and we're going to talk about the different responses. And this goes into the human input, basically. Some steered people completely away from Christianity. Some people had middle of the road. Nothing was really like, you're going to walk away with this with a great grasp of Christianity. But the whole study was formed on what are people Googling, and now what are they getting from AI about Christianity. So that'll be next week to continue with AI. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Dave, I just an outline comment. One of my Bible programs that I purchased years ago on my phone, Olive Tree, now uses AI.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't vote on that.
Yeah. Right.
It's everywhere.
It's here, and it's going so fast. I think we're going to be left in the dust if we don't pay attention to it. All right, I'll close up with prayer. Dear Father, thank you again for another beautiful Sunday. Thank you for a Mother's Day, Lord, that we can just have a day to honor and remember mothers, Lord. That's just a great gift from you to have mothers. Just thank you for this time here. Just pray for your guidance, your wisdom, Lord, on technology, social media, and AI. Help us as parents, help us as families, grandparents, and aunts, and uncles, and as young people, Lord, just help us with this technology that you're just not surprised by it, but we have to be careful of it and learn what's good and learn what's not, Lord. Just pray for your help there.